Deepu will start with, I don't have anything to say. I don't have any thoughts on this.
This is the surprise of this episode, is Neha has added to this sentiment. I have no thoughts. My thoughts are all on social media. It seems.
About social media, on social media. Gone with social media also. Over.
Bakwas. All of you, please. This is like class topper behavior. I am done with it.
Class topper? I was class topper. That's how I behave. That is my OG personality. I used to take 26 additionals, you know, in science and math and social studies. I used to be that annoying person, like, additional, and then I would like...
Yeah! This is not a flex, just saying.
Yeah.
I'm still in academia. This is a flex for us.
Unfortunately, so am I. That's the Maya of this world.
So, should we start?
Yes!
Yes.
Hello, namaste, adab, zindabad. Welcome to a brand new season of Fursat Feminism.
Woohoo!
I'm Arundhati.
I'm Deepa.
Join us as we gather fellow feminists and have candid conversations on the joys, the irritations, the confusions, and the messiness of being a feminist. And today we have just absolutely super duper duper treat on our hands. We have two of our favorite guests from season one, but also two of internet's favorite girlfriends. Sneha and Shravanti. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi.
Listen, can I just say that after writing an essay professing my platonic love for Shravanti, one of my aunts called my mom and said, what is this Sneha has written? Is she lesbian? So, I'm now proclaiming Shravanti as girlfriend.
No. She so clearly said platonic, we don't need to compare it to romantic, we don't need to see, you know, anything else. And then one of our common friend also tried to do the same thing, saying, are you sure you don't have feelings for each other? Are you? I'm like, yes, we have feelings for each other. We clearly have feelings for each other.
Shravanti has more feelings for me than any man has ever had.
Obviously. Absolutely. Thank you for calling both of us. This is just feeling like a...
double date.
Yeah, double date. See,
double date is a good way to put it. So the little bit of the context to this entire conversation is that we, at some point when we were wrapping up season one, and we sort of wrapped season one in a hurry. We didn't really wrap it. We just said at some point, we were like, we're done. We've hit a wall, because we somehow thought that doing like a weekly podcast was a great idea in the middle of also a pandemic and also full-time jobs. We also ended season one. At some point we were saying, you know, what are the regrets from season? Like, not regrets, but things that we wish we had done. And two or three topics that kind of we kept thinking, arey, ye to baat kar leni chahiye. Like, this is something that we really needed to talk about, just because there's so much to mine. So one of those topics was social media. And there's two things that happened with season two. We were like getting really excited about season two. But also we have at this point planned to record four intros, actually recorded one intro. It's been a year and a half since season one. Okay, we were like, ye ho raha hai ki nahi? Like, are we actually committing to season two? Or what is this high-level commitment phobia that we're going through with the season two business? So we said, okay, let's pick a topic that we really want to talk about, and let's pick two people that we cannot possibly leave on the editing floor. This is our way of forcing ourselves to hold ourselves accountable for season two.
I don't think it's very helpful. I was just going to be like, yeah, I don't think you should. Like, if you feel like you can't edit it and all, you can also like remove this episode. No problem. That's why it's very low stakes.
You have to edit my episode whenever I'm on it, and it has to be on the internet. So Sneha can be generous. Like, no. Don't worry.
One of the reasons that we also think social media is such a topic rife with possibilities is also because Deepa and I have just had the most divergent takes on social media and divergent relationships with social media. I think somewhere or the other, I toh definitely look up to both of you ki ye kuch bada sorted wholesome relationship hai in dono ka social media.
Okay, the internet can't see our faces right now, thankfully. Not feeling wholesome at all about this.
Please speak for yourself. Sneha is perfectly Instagram lit right now.
Yeah, I have great lighting. I washed my hair. I have my best lipstick on. I don't know what you're talking about.
But my question to you to start, what is your current relationship status? with social media.
What is my relationship status? I still use social media extensively. I document a lot of my life on social media. I think my relationship status is finally a place of some comfort with it. And not feeling too much shame around it, not feeling too much guilt, not feeling the need to explain or any of that stuff. Yeah, I think we all, me and Sneha, we have different platforms where we overshare as much as we want to. So Instagram is where we live and where we spill our hearts and where we make friends. Okay, so for context, Sneha and I are besties. But if I try to explain to anyone how we met, it's very strange to say we met on Instagram. Because we did meet on Instagram. It is one of those stories. Sneha and I have probably spent like one and a half hours in person together in total.
45 minutes.
That's that Pratik concert, this, that.
I
had a little.
In which I stared at you swooning. I was dragged to this concert that I really didn't want to go to because who wants to listen to Mumble Bore? And I remember like I had come across Shravanti as a like a, as a concept and a living entity at a protest. And she followed me on Instagram, I followed her back. So I knew, like, I had some sense of what Shravanti was about. But then I saw her, like, I was in the Pratik Kohat concert, I was standing somewhere Niche, and there was a first floor where the hardcore fans were. And I remember looking up and seeing this crazed woman, just like, every line and every word that he sang, or, you know, sang in quotes because he cannot sing. She was like, oh, you know. Crooning and crooning. I don't know, like a lot was happening and I was arrested. I just kept staring at her. I think I spent more of the concert just like gazing lovingly and very amused at Shravanti. And after the concert, I think Shravanti was outside and my cousin and I were about to leave and she looked very excited. She's like, how did you like the concert or something? And I was just like, it was horrible. I would rather listen to some Kumar Sanu or some snarky comment I made and I left. Shockingly.
And we're still friends.
So I think for me, right, like I think Instagram has been a like a stable long-term relationship for a while now. I have not had many ups and downs with it. I mean, we've taken a break now and then, thought I have vanished and come back. But my fling has been Twitter. So I got into this intense, you know, fell in love very quickly, had this, you know, torrid affair. Now I have like some 16,000 followers, but I'm so over it. I hate it. I have a lot of like post-fling regret around putting myself out there with such great abandon. It's quite funny. It's mostly just like young people in India following me, or like a lot of BJP accounts that I think just follow anybody who has more than a certain number of followers. So yeah, I randomly get like some Hanuman hugging a Lakshman kind of profile photo follow. Like a lot. There's like a lot of stuff happening. You know, sometimes I see people with some RSS type posters in their background of the, like the Twitter thing, right? But their name will have a lot of red flags, and I don't think they understand like how that comes across. Be like Sham or something, red flag. I'm like, yeah. But yeah, so Twitter has been a bit, I mean, it's soured because also of the whole like Elon Musk thing, and then just generally the kind of toxicity and just the negativity of Twitter. I couldn't deal with it. So now I'm off. I let go now and then, and I see something I like it. Then I see some academic tweet about someone doing exceptionally well, then I feel horrible about myself, then I leave Twitter and come to Instagram where I'm like, yay, there's so much variety. There are selfies, self-help posts, there's some astrology, so much is happening, there's some like political posts. I'm like, yeah, chill, like, there's more variety on Instagram, and I get to see all my friends' lovely faces and just share dumb reels with them. So it's great.
What about Facebook?
Facebook.
First love.
Yeah. Correct. First love only. Thankfully has ended relationship and we've moved on to being good friends. So we are good friends.
Oh, you've moved on to be good friends. I deal with Facebook like I deal with all my exes. It's like, oh, it still exists.
That is probably a better strategy with exes, but
I deal with like how I deal with most of my extended family. I'm like, oh, when I need you to something, I will come there and post. There's nothing much there for me.
What about LinkedIn?
Okay, LinkedIn, contentious relationship. My ex was in LinkedIn, so I
in the club, like he was working there.
Yeah, man. There are many other reasons to hate LinkedIn, but like for me, this is the primary.
No, I'm boycotting LinkedIn. Now.
Valid reason.
No, I wish I had such a legit reason to leave. every day I gaslight myself. I'm like, "Are you don't want to be on LinkedIn because you don't think you're worthy because you're not worthy."
X aside, I find LinkedIn to be the most boring, almost toxic, positive platform. And every day you see like, oh, I'm delighted to announce my new role as whatever. And I really want to post. I'm delighted to announce that I have achieved nothing in the past 6 months.
You should do it. That'd be very radical on LinkedIn, I feel.
Arre, everything is in that tone, yaar. Even if you like don't get something, you don't get a job, that also becomes a motivational post. It's like, arre, you know, the things I learned from my 5 job rejections. I'm like, shit.
Too much gyan.
Yeah. But one of the ways in which my relationship with social media shifted is because of Sneha's other essay, which is not about me, but it is about her essay about Instagram, which will be linked somewhere. But the TLDR is that she says about how like there's so much shaming about, you know, especially women being on the internet, women using Instagram, and they sell, or, you know, how we post selfies and our vanity is attacked, all of that. And then for me, the essence of it was like, somebody asked her, why do you use it? And she said, because it's fun. And I feel like that is such a fundamental answer, which like, till then I was like, no, you know, I get my news from social media, which I do, like I don't, and or like I build a community or I share thoughts and this and that. But no, I just have fun. I love the validation, which comes every once in a while. I love the engagement. No, I love talking to people. I love scrolling through reels. I love spending time like looking at people's lives. And I genuinely feel like very little shame about it anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, I think for me too, I feel like it's kind of funny. I know lots of people in my life have a very different relationship to social media. They get very stressed, or they feel like it's very stressful to put up selfies. Like my cousin, who I'm very close to, she devours all my social media content. She like very faithfully like everything, for instance. Like, it was interesting to watch her, right? Like, she actually like takes a lot of time with stories, like what to put up, and then she'd be like, it's not witty enough, and then she gets frustrated and then she just like deletes the story. And I think for me, like, I reflected a lot on the essay that I wrote, and I feel like I didn't know how to explain, or like something that didn't come through in that essay is that it's also like a bit of an extension of my personality, right? Like, I speak a lot in a day. And I say a lot of things without filter, but I also don't regret so much. Like, I'm not someone who's going to be like, oh, why did I say this one thing to that one person? Like, it happens sometimes, but not very often.
Like, when you go to sleep at night and you're lying with your head on your pillow, your mind is not like a running reel of all the embarrassing moments of your life. What?
Wow. I'm envious of you.
I think I get very stressed out in romantic relationships, for sure. Like, I doubt myself a lot, but definitely not in my professional life, and definitely not with like acquaintances and friends as much. So social media, I'm just like putting up stuff. And then sometimes when I get freaked out, for me, it's just delete. Like, I don't think about it too much. If I'm like a little embarrassed, I'm like, okay, this is unnecessary, I'll just delete it. Generally, it doesn't cause me that much angst, but I've seen people feel very angsty about it. So I think the other side to that is just that, you know, I think social media can be super stressful and it can be very overwhelming, especially if you do like one thing at a time. For instance, I am like looking at Instagram while walking, or like while reading, or while like prepping for class. No one should know this, but yeah, so it's like it kind of flits in between activities. But for some people, that is the activity, right? And I can't imagine what that might be like. It could be a lot to take in at once, probably.
It's interesting. I kept thinking when we were going to have this conversation, I kept thinking of just how much my relationship with social media has changed. Just, it started with Facebook, obviously. Actually, it started with Orkut. The origins of validation in my life was like somebody writing me a testimonial on Orkut, right? And nobody used to, when we were like 16, 17, who used to write like heartfelt letters or cards? Or, like, I never received any of those things. So got on Orkut, and there was, you know, this very public display of like interaction. Your pictures are a little bit on display, but it was more about how do you interact with people. And then that moved to like a Facebook wall, as like your wall was how cool you were and how people would like interact with you and who's posting on your wall. It became a whole thing of like becoming hyper aware of how I'm seen. It's really interesting because I got on Facebook while I was in the US on exchange. And that was in itself a whole experience. I was in the hotbed of like, none of my India friends were on Facebook. They were on Orkut and I was on Facebook and Orkut. And there was this parallel lives that I was leading of this social media curation and this social media curation, this person. And I think that was the first time that I started consciously realizing that I'm a different person on different social medias. And there was a lot of shame I gave myself for that, because I was like, "Arey, authenticity kahan hai tumhari? Where is the real Arundhati?" What? I have written a blog post about this. Do not go searching for it.
Too much pressure.
So all of this was going on in my head. And then at some point, I remember this conversation with a friend where we were talking about how we are with family, how we are with friends, how we are with different sets of friends. And then I was like, wait, the shame that I was giving myself about being different people on social media. We do that all the time in real life. We are different people in different situations with different, you know, sets of individuals with different sets of expectations in different social settings. That is how we are as social animals. We shapeshift, we code switch, whatever. We do all of those things. And I mean, this is just about the reconciliation of this authenticity farce that we've all been fed over and over, especially as women.
Yes.
And vanity. Oh, ho, ho. Ye to Sneha koi bolne denge.
Yeah, man. I don't know. Like, so when I started using Yahoo Messenger, all of these, like the internet happened, and I remember I used to go to Satyam Highway and sit for 1 hour, 15 rupees, something like that. But I remember when I had to come up with like an email address, I had a family persona, which was pretty benign. It was some shy Sneha. I was pretty shy apparently at one time.
We're all gonna say what our first email address was, and let's like poll which is the worst, which is the most embarrassing.
So mine was shysneha@yahoo.com, but I had another one, which was my real personality, which was, hold your breath because this is going to blow your minds. It was hottyhotdog@hotmail.com.
Shravati, do you still want to do that competition? I think not.
By the way, my third email ID was psycho_snezo. Can I just say that I think I win these email contests?
Guys, I have the worst answer, worst submission to this. My first ID was made by my dad.
My first ID was made by my friend. Yeah.
My first ID was made by my granddad.
What?
That is why it was shy Sneha, because I was shy, according to him.
Sneha's competitiveness.
Yeah, like, yeah, dad friend, my granddad.
I've only ever had two email, personal email IDs. One was arusmail@yahoo.com, and then arundhati.sridhar. That's it. I've never had one of those fun adjective followed by name or followed by fun alliteration of name. It's very sad.
You should make one now. This is a cool new thing. You should just start it. Restart the trend.
Arguably Aru.
Arguably Aru.
Mine was, again, my friend made it. Mine was sweet fruity because my ghar ka naam is fruity.
So cute.
In the spirit of full disclosure, my first email address, which will be funny because you all know me a little, was behappyalways@yahoo.com.
So cute.
And look how that's small now. I would hate anyone who's happy always, but yeah, that was that.
HottyHotDog@hotmail.com is what I used to use to chat with strangers or chat rooms. Okay. I don't know. I think from the beginning, see, I can't think too much. Okay. Like this is, I can overthink about all the negative issues in my life. I can't overthink objective, like actual serious problems in this world. I didn't think about, you know, what those conversations were about or like, who was initiating them at that time. But it was very validating. And I was this like nerdy person in school that no one really thought about as attractive at all. So for me, like the digital world was a space where I felt very desired, right? And I felt like, wow, like I have this like personality, and I was like pretty witty or whatever. So I used to like have these long chats with absolute strangers. But there was a different aspect to my personality that came out through and because of social media in a way that it didn't in class, where I was still like, you know, the additional supplement taker and the have to get 97 out of 100 in everything I do, otherwise I will die kind of person. So, yeah, I think my relationship to vanity in a sense was more positive than not at an early time.
Similar, I think. Oh, I was a ICQ kid. I don't know if any of you remember ICQ. This was way before even MSN Messenger came out. I grew up very, very unattractive. So having this personality and like this quippiness, similar, like, you know, felt very... But of course, I was shamed for that also because I was trying to be too cool. But I think, interestingly, with vanity again, somebody had written an essay a couple of years back, which really resonated about how, because of social media, like Facebook or Orkut or anything, I am suddenly being able to curate how I look, right? So there are certain pictures which I feel like I look good in, and those are the ones which are going up, and those are getting reactions, right? There are people that say, wow, and good, and nice, and all of that, and that did something to my self-worth, and it really like changed my relationship with myself and my body and all of that. So it started from there, then moved to this phase where I was like, okay, but it has to be authentic, same. So I, you know, I will not do this nice pictures only if somebody's tagged. Like there's some moment where I feel like it's okay, I don't look great, I should be okay with putting that up and da da da. Now full circle where I'm like, okay, it's not, I don't look amazing all the time. There are a few days where I make the effort, and if I want to only showcase that, it's fine. And you know, I don't think that makes me less authentic, more authentic, because I think there's so many shades of ourselves we share, right? Like, and how you look physically and how you want to present is one aspect of it. So I'm quite okay with like using the filters and using this, because I'm like, if you really think I look like this all the time, then that's. But I think like two things I feel like we should just get out of the way. Of course, it's a toxic place, and of course, being a woman on the internet is like all sorts of crap and like all sorts of violence and all of that. Second thing is, yes, like the need for validation, it does something to your brain, like you're looking for that dopamine hit and all of that. But I feel like that's been discussed so much, there's enough being said about that. And like, I really feel like the complications of the joy of being on the internet, or like whatever, the fun of being on the internet and the complications which come with that, that is like interesting for me.
मैं ऐसे सुन रही हूँ, मतलब ये ऑर्कुट वगैरह तो आई डोंट थिंक आई एवर इवन सॉ द
ये सारे बच्चे.
अरे आई केम ऑन फेसबुक इन 2010 आई गेस 2011, बट आई हैव नेवर हैड अ रिलेशनशिप विद सोशल मीडिया. आई मीन अरु फोर्स्ड मी टू मेक एन इंस्टाग्राम अकाउंट आफ्टर वी स्टार्टेड फुर्सत. शी लिटरली फोर्स्ड मी, शी इज लाइक नाउ वी आर हियर, प्लीज कम जस्ट टू शेयर स्टोरीज.
आई वाज लाइक चेहरा होना चाहिए, इट शुडंट साउंड लाइक दिस पॉडकास्ट रन बाय वन पर्सन स्पीकिंग इन टू डिफरेंट वॉइसेस. लाइक Deepa has no internet footprint.
Instagram is all Aru's conspiracy. It's not a conscious decision ki nahi jana hai. It's just nahi jana hai. Matlab, it's actually that. Matlab, I don't really have a reason. And I do agree with what Shravanti is saying, that there's a lot of conversation around self-worth, vanity, this, that. Matlab, wo sara intellectual conversation pata hai. But my reason for not being on social media is not that. I think it's just because I find it exhausting. I just find it a lot of work to do. I mean, and I find too much information exhausting. And other than that, I think these snippets of information that come on social media, na, that I like engaging in anything long form. Like I like watching a movie or spending like enough time. Also, I have a little bit of an addictive personality. So I feel like if I get hooked onto social media, it will take me forever to get out of it. So I think that is again one thing that I'm afraid of maybe. And the other angle to it for me has been that I come from a space where my personal mobile I had when I was in bachelor's, and that too not a smartphone really. I just had like a chhoto dabba phone. Matlab, one of the reasons I'm also not on social media, because I think mobile phones ka itna craze hi nahi hai. Matlab, in the sense that it has become a thing, and I think Aru, day before yesterday, Aru and I were talking, and she said this to me, that you are much more digital than I am. And I'm just like, really? And then I realized that I do think about social media a lot. But personally, wo bhi as a tool, like as a tool for my work.
You're much more of an internet citizen than I am. That's all I meant. Like you grew up thinking about.
Definitely, I agree with you on that. But and I also agree that I look at social media a little differently. Like I don't look at social media. I mean, utna zyada personally, main zarur nahi dekhti hu. And I think if I was not in this sector, I would have never sort of even gone on social media. Matlab, but I do look at social media as a tool, and I look at social media as something very. Like with a huge potential, and I think given the kind of work we've done, maybe because of that also, and the way I've seen girls use social media in different spaces, I just find it very interesting, and I find it very subversive tool for so many of these girls that I've worked with, and it's amazing. And I one of the things I only do on social media is just go and stalk people. That part is fun. Khud se kuch dalna is, I'm just like nah.
So you do have this relationship with social media. It's just a silent consumer stalker on social.
I am. I've stalked all three of you, by the way.
I think I'd be offended if people I knew didn't stalk me. I would just be like, why do I have these posts then? And
I have to say, I have learned how to be muffed about. Of course, I put this up on social media from Shravanti. I remember first time Shravanti met me. This is like 4 minutes into meeting me. We met at an exhibition. We're walking through this. And I'm trying to pick out a shirt for my partner. And she's like, no, Manoj already has something in this print.
Oh my God. And she remembers also.
Oh my God, Shravanti, amazing.
And then the way Shanti sort of casually references things that happen on social media. So many references, right? Like, I'll be saying something and she'll be like, yeah, yeah, 4 days ago your story said this. If, you know, following from that, you know, the so it's sort of a continued conversation. One bleeds into the other, bleeds into the... And I find that so fascinating, because when you take that unnecessary special, like the pedestalization away from social media, ki, oh, bhai, this is like this absolutely hyper-curated version of what I want to see for myself, which is there, obviously, but then what is not? But then there is an acknowledgement that I know all of these things about you, because what I used to really struggle with, honestly, was the sense of intimacy that you feel on social media so quickly with people. Like, you're like, okay, I know what the furniture in your apartment looks like, to like what your last thought was about, you know, about the last pair of sunglasses you bought. And it's that entire range of information, small tidbits about your life, which in any other situation would make me feel like, wow, this is a very close friend, right? Yeah. And then there are these so many such people who know these things about me. And I used to try to park these intimacies away, saying these are not legit intimacies. These are just forced or projected intimacies, and that's what social media is. And then met Shanti and she's like, nahi, we know each other, you know, I had put this, I had said this, you had seen this, you have read this. So it legitimized that intimacy so quickly and so immediately and so in such a lovely way. And that's why it's so believable to be like, oh yeah, Shanti makes friends on Instagram and they become her friends in real life, quote unquote. Because everybody else is busy pretending they haven't seen my story. Yeah, really. Like, they're too busy pretending. Oh really, this happened to you? Oh really, this is your partner? Oh really? Like, come on, don't pretend.
My problem is that I remember. So, you know, I am remembering and I am talking and referencing. And like, I always feel like, even with you, Aru, I feel like I have to reference with saying, listen, I know it sounds creepy, but Manoj has the shirt. Because I remember. So it can be particularly creepy if I'm meeting someone for the first time and done a deep dive of them on the internet. And I'm like, oh, why did you quit your job 3 years ago? Yeah, I think being able to air whatever is happening on Instagram, you know, or whatever, whichever social media, and realizing less and less that, I think I also had this thing about, like, you know, my Facebook personality. When I started social media, I was also going through this phase and I was like, oh, I have to be very intellectual and I'm very like, only political posts, and like, you know, it has to be meaningful. It can be interspersed with some selfies or this, that, but like, largely it has to be like, you know, something meaningful. This is my contribution. And then like, I like meeting Sneha was a big one of those turning points, because she's someone I respect, admire, like, you know, in every way, like in her work, she's brilliant, and like, she's so silly, man, she's so silly on like on the internet, and it just gave me permission to be as silly as I need to. And I'm like, okay, this is, you know, someone I love and respect can do this. And then it's perfectly okay for me to do any of this. So it really like shifted my relationship. And yeah, then it became like, okay, there's no like big lines for me. Like, you know, this happened online and this happened offline. It actually even became more relevant, because earlier you would have arguments with people online. You remember this Facebook war?
Yeah.
And somebody IRL will tell you that, why are you getting so worked up? It's not even real. And I'm like, no, man. I am upset by these things people are saying. And it's not that they're attacking me, but whatever is happening here, it is affecting me. So you can't like be like, no, no. Oh, why are you so obsessed about Instagram? I'm not obsessed about Instagram. I'm obsessed about people and what they think of. That's pretty much all there is to it, I guess.
Yeah. I remember like one person, obviously a cishet man, kind of shaming me for putting up some fun stuff when something dire was happening in India. And he was just like, you're so, you know, people like you are elite and privileged and you should be doing more work towards popularizing this. And I felt both ways. One, I did feel like he was right. Like, yeah, sure. Like, as someone who maybe has the resources to be able to put something out there, I should. But I just felt like, bhai, I'm not a news channel. Like, you know, like, come on. This is my, like, private Instagram page. And yeah, you can have an opinion on what I might do. But you can't just, like, come and, like, yell at me in my DMs being like, you need to do this. Like, stop being this person who's like, oh, I am such a favor to social media.
Flag bearer of.
Yeah, like, flag bearer of everything. And then being, like, so annoyed at people who are not flag bearing. I mean, I'm sorry, the world doesn't work according to the way you think it should work, or my Instagram does not look like what you want my Instagram to look like, but it's like an endless regression then,
yeah,
right?
Like, you draw the line, your social media is not doing this, then you're like, oh, you're only doing it on social media, you should be doing
it. Correct. It can go either way. It'll be like, oh, it's so performative. You only put a post and then you're done. And I'm like, there's no winning, basically. And like, again, people have different relationships to social media. I think we just have to first accept that. The problem is that people don't. Like, they either think you're vain or they think you're frivolous or they think you take yourself so seriously. Like, you know, there's like so many things that we keep thinking about other people's relationship to social media. And I'm like, first, let's figure out our own, which is complicated enough.
Yeah, completely agree.
And it's so tethered in our own, what we're feeling about ourselves at the time. And it's at least for me, it has always been an extension of if I'm feeling good, then I'm active. If I'm not feeling good, I'm not active. It's the other day, somebody was saying what social media essentially might be doing is amplifying the echo chambers. We all know this happens, obviously. But also, I feel this constant vilification of echo chambers is also problematic. Like, full day, you just want to be at war or what? Like, we all need people that agree with us, that amplify a little bit of what we're saying, that validate us. Because we are constantly also invalidating ourselves. There has to be some counterbalance, all of that. In the middle of that, basically that person was saying that what is happening is there is a generation of users on, specifically on TikTok, but a lot general social media also, for whom sort of their world becomes the people that they surround themselves with in that social media space. And therefore, she's talking about how at different ages, we all also had these bubbles of people that we used to surround ourselves with, but those were very age-centric bubbles. So it's sort of self-contained little sets of people that we used to sort of go through life with. Now, what social media can tend to do is, A, there is the advantage of sort of reaching out to more outside of that immediate circle of people that will validate us. But there is also, because of that, a tendency to think this is it. My version of the truth is the version of the truth. And our ability to hear the counterpoint is getting lesser and lesser and lesser, because the validation goes, like, have the chasms that surround us, has these sort of obviously contributed in some ways to the increasing chasms. Not to say that fascism is because of social media, obviously.
Also, you clearly don't have a lot of BJP accounts following you on social media. What's happening? There are no chasms. They are everywhere.
I actually do kind of disagree with this analysis. First of all, I find the echo chamber terminology quite limiting, because I feel like you call it an echo. I don't know if you've had nourishing friendships, especially when you have female friendships and all of that, I don't think it's an echo chamber at all. Yes, you're validating each other's thoughts, but you're also challenging, you're helping each other grow. Not like, you know, anything you do is like, yes, yes, like, you know, you will get that validation, you get that support, but I don't think it's a space of no growth. I think it's a space of immense growth and immense, like, back and forth. And so I don't even think of it as an echo chamber. I actually think of it, I don't know, maybe like a safety chamber. And like, I'm fine. And all of us are going out and having some of those interactions and coming back and bringing it in. And we're growing in that, like, safe, nourishing environment. And that's fine. This terminology of echo chamber, I find, like, can be very dismissive. Yeah. And I just don't, like, often agree with that. Yeah.
And it's very gendered. Like, because I was pointing out how I had put out this very vulnerable post being like, I'm feeling like shit. I need some validation. Somebody validate me. And not a single cis man was on that post. And somebody was telling me, women get so much of a validation on social media. Everybody will think that they are great only. And I'm like, tell me what is wrong with that. No, but look, for somebody to feel good about themselves, you have a problem.
I've heard this thing from cis men all the time about, like, vanity, right? Like, oh, it breeds vanity. It's so irritating, because it's like physical vanity is just one vanity, okay? Like, all these people and them trying to, like, outdo each other in terms of smarts or wit, that's all vanity. It's all vanity, right? Or, like, even kindness. Like, some people are, like, obsessed with being the kindest person. Yeah. You know? I'm like, that's also one form of vanity only. Just, like, calm the fuck down. Like, it's so irritating. Because, like, when it comes to looks only, everybody thinks about vanity. But there are so many different modalities of vanity. And, you know, you put up one selfie, people like, it's just like, oh, yeah, you're just doing this for the attention. And I'm like, yeah. I mean, duh. Don't tell me the obvious shit like this. Like, of course, I'm doing this for attention. Like, why is it such a flaw on your character? You know, like, I don't understand where. And they're very gendered ideas. Like, you should not be attention seeking. But, like, these men can, like, buy the most expensive watch and, like, keep talking about it, like, endlessly. And so annoying. And it's like, we all have different ways of, like, feeling good about ourselves. You're doing your thing. Like, no one's stopping you. No one's, like, judging you for it. Except your other fellow men for some dumb reason. But they're all judging everybody. And that kind of, like, judgment has also seeped into, like, again, thinking about who's a good feminist or who's a bad feminist. Like, who's a good feminist for like, you know, like, I don't know, dressing up, going to Sephora or something. I love Sephora. Like, what is this? Yaar? Like, achha, skin ke liye also you have to explain yourself 100 times. Like, I want good skin. It's okay. I am feminist, but I don't want pores. Like, why should I be doing all this work of explaining my dislike of my own pores?
Your essay also talked about this, Neha.
Yeah. But you know, this thing about, I really like what Shravanti said about the safety chamber versus echo chamber thing. Yeah. And yeah, yes, it's so right, right? Like, I don't really need to hear another counterpoint. But also, again, thinking of the continuum aspect, right? Like, because it's not like digital life versus real life. It's hard to believe we actually ever escape those conversations that we don't want to have. We have them anyway. We have them at our dining tables. We have them, you know, when some uncle decides to talk at you for 45 minutes at a wedding when you just want to look nice and take pictures and they just won't stop. So it's like, I don't think we escape them anyway. But I guess like for some of us who have a relationship of, I don't know, trying to foster some kind of community online, it's just nice to keep some of that out. And I'm a big fan of like blocking people who irritate the hell out of me. I like social media and I want to have a positive relationship to it, which involves a lot of filtering some people out. And because it's harder to do that in person, it is in fact harder to just like not talk to someone who's like talking to you. It's just like the fact that there is an option on social media is great, and it's great for women who like often don't have that option, right? Of just like walking away from situations. So yeah, I think it's very empowering in that limited way, at least.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that, you know, this thing of, oh, you're just doing it for validation. Yeah, bro, totally doing it for validation. And we're doing a lot of life for validation. You know, as if like, our, you know, if you're going to a party or you're going to buy groceries, you're not curating your life. Of course you are. You are still choosing what you're wearing. You're still choosing how you look. Your choice is to look like you've just rolled out of bed. That is still a choice you're making. You know, you're still like, you know, it's not like social media, of course, there's a certain kind of curation which happens here, but like, I think this dismissal as this as like fake and everything else you're doing as real, that's what irritates me. The other point I wanted to make was how I really, you know, like Deepu saying that it exhausts her and like this information is exhausting. I completely relate to that. And I feel like when I feel like I want to get off social media, it is because I don't want any more stimulus of that sort, right? Like, I don't want to know certain things. It's not because I am getting lost in the vanity or like lost in the whatever algorithm or I'm wasting time. I can waste time in 1,000 other ways. So this is like the time.
Yeah.
And then like the other thing which I have noticed is this, people who are not on social media, not you, Deepu, because you're a wise person, but like this judgment ki like, oh, you have so much time. People are saying it casually, but I've heard it so many times, like, oh, you are always on Instagram, oh, you to like, you know, are Instagram.
You are Instagram.
I wish Shravanti was Instagram.
I swear, Shravanti, please become Instagram. Yaar,
I'm okay now. Like, you know, you really want to shame me for something I enjoy doing, then how sad is your life?
Like, that's the thing. Like, I think a lot of the comments that we hear, right, like, it actually reveals people's relationship to themselves and to social media. Then it's not really, I stop thinking it's about me anymore. I'm like, it's your problem. Actually, you have something going on. Like, you figure it out. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm doing my thing and moving on.
The other point, which was what I wanted to make, was like how Sneha is like a very extroverted person. She can go to a party, she can go to a protest, talk to people. Aru, you relate. Deepu and I have known such things. And her way of like living on the internet and forming community is like, you know, different in that sense. I am someone who's very fairly introverted. Most of the days don't like people. Most of the days don't like human interaction. And so it's very selective and, you know, not like Sneha lets everyone in. But, you know, that. So for that, I feel like social media has given me that kind of space to like engage how I want, the pace I want, you know, with what I want. And so I'm putting up something. Someone's responding. I want to respond. I respond. I don't want to respond immediately. Don't respond. I met Arundhati. I met you because of Instagram. Sneha, I know because of Instagram. Deepu, of course, by default, I know because of Instagram. But these are very important, beautiful, amazing relationships. And it almost always, like, even now when I'm saying it, oh, we met on Instagram, it seems like it's not, like, meaningful. But it is. It did you want to say that we met on Instagram, but you know, we also had these contacts and we had like these other people. We met on Instagram. We became friends because of Instagram. Or, you know, if it wasn't Instagram, it would have been some other social media platform. But I don't think Sneha and I could have had those conversations we were having if it wasn't for this kind of a medium and that kind of pace it gave us to, you know, kar lo jo karna hai. Yeah.
You know, I mean, all three of you were talking from a space of some, I guess, being people who are on social media and therefore face a lot of slack because of that. I have had a little different experience in terms of how not being on social media also makes you the odd one out everywhere. You know, like I'm literally the odd one out in so many conversations because I'm not, like, I don't even know what is going on right now. There is that side of it where there's always this sense of your own validation that you seek from social media. And I'm just reflecting on what Shravanti is mostly saying about, you know, finding your community, finding your safe space. I actually don't think I've really thought about social media as a safe space. Overall, the idea of social media is something which I've just felt thoda performative, yes, but also something where I'm just like, this is not a place I go for seeking for safety or seeking for my community. I feel it more in my personal sort of, in more physical spaces. But growingly, I felt that if I don't have similar social media interests with people my age group, I sort of tend to lose just any space for conversation, any space for even making those connections in physical world in many, many spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of gets to me sometimes. Because for me to be able to say, ki, arey, main WhatsApp nahin chalati hun kabhi kabhi, ya main Instagram nahin chalati hun, ya I also have had the tendency, and it sounds very ridiculous to a lot of people, that I do have a tendency of like switching off my phone for a month and be like, nahin chahiye. And doesn't come from any high horse, but it just comes from a space ki yaar nahi ho raha mere se, like I can't function on my phone many, many times. I like being, and doesn't really mean ki arey physical world mein jaake, oh, main to aise in the moment rehti hun, waisa bhi kuch nahi hai. I can just lay around. And but that idea is so alien for so many people. Media nowadays, like if I think of not going on social media, I also know that that will make me the odd one out. But I'll have these bunch of friends that I live with, but uske alawa kaise karenge, how will I manage? And the other bit is, which I keep talking to Aru, and which is something, Bhavna, for example, is somebody in my friend circle who's very much on social media. Aru is the other person, and then the two of you. Yeah, the four people I know constantly updating every single aspects of themselves in different ways, I think, using social media. One thing I keep struggling with is that, how do you separate, where do you sort of see the line where social media starts dictating what you do in your sort of everyday life? I find myself doing that once in a while. Like there are days when I'm just like, ye main sirf isliye karungi kyunki ye insta pe jana hai, you know, or I see a lot of people doing that, and I feel that theek hai, once in a while makes sense, but I also see that thing happening around me quite often. Like when I am with friends, people are very adamant on like photo leni hi hai, insta pe dalna hi hai, and I have to like make them understand that I am not, so I don't like putting my pictures up. So like, where do you draw that line? And as Sneha was saying, we can go on a Prateek Kuhar and declare it to the world.
I go for all his concerts, you just don't know, because I have never put it up on Instagram.
Yeah, and usme mere sath ye ho jata hai ki bahut, a lot of my friends, for example, like expressing themselves only on social media, and then I find it very difficult to sort of bring it back to, say for example, I like expressing myself. If you go through my and Aru's chats, they're just series of love letters. Like I did start doing that, I just write love letters to people. And I do that to a lot of people. Like I write them something nice and just send it to their DMs or their personal chat or somewhere. That's as much I can express. But then when things are out on social media, I feel a little pressured also. Ki matlab, theek hai, there's this imagery that has been created ki, oh, we are these best of friends and we're in love with each other. But hum ek dusre se alag se baat nahi kar pa rahe. Matlab, for me, it creates thoda sa divide between how I'm feeling about that.
Yeah.
And that performativity sort of gets to me. Even with my sister, for example, a lot of things we say to each other through some story. But then I know ki, I can't say that to her in person. And like she will put up some story, say something to about me there, but then I can't talk to her about that in person. And I feel thoda discomfort in that reality also. I'm just flipping this around because I'm just like, that's...
Always asking the profound questions.
I'm still recovering from the fact that you turn your phone off for a month. I'm just like, what?
That was my introduction to Deepa. I was supposed to be like waiting for her to join the team and our work would start. And she's like joined the job, but she's not sure. She's not picking up her phone. And I was like, and this person is like, yeah, Deepa just routinely falls off the map. So don't know if she's actually going to show up. Don't know if she'll ever respond to her phone. Like, fuck, what? What am I going to do? What do you mean this person is offline?
This is major inspiration.
Major. I love it. I'm just thinking like, how it works in my life. Like, I feel like if anything, my social media expression of love is way lesser than my real expression of love. I don't know. The number of times in a day I tell Sneha I love her and I want to like squish her face is like just too many. So I genuinely feel like my expression of love, and like I feel like most of the people I know who are expressing love to me, I feel like that, I know it exists, but I don't think it exists for me. But where I do feel it exists is what you have seen previously, Deepa, about how you feel like left out of conversations. That I do feel, because I feel like I am communicating so much through my like stories or whatever else, and some people are aware of like, you know, my day-to-day lives, and there are some people like whom I love immensely who are not on social media, and I feel like I don't make as much of an effort to, you know, communicate with them or get, like, I think I've still not been able to strike that balance, because I'm like, oh, if you like some friends who like write to me after years will be like, oh, how are you, and my thought is like, well, if you followed me on Instagram, you would know what was that. I'm like, okay, that's really fucked up. That's not how I should think. So yeah, I think that balance of figuring out like communication online only, but with friends who are not on social media, that is like still something I'm not sure of.
It's really funny. So I remember at one day, Deepa had shown up at home in Bangalore, and we were talking about something, and she said that what really freaked me out the other day, I tried to swipe through a book. She's like, I was reading a physical book and I tried to swipe it. And she's like, that freaked the fuck out of me. I was like, oh, I don't even know how to be freaked out by that, because I can't remember the last physical book I read. But but I was thinking at that time, and I realized what was starting to freak me about my relationship to social media was that I'd started narrating my life in the third person. Like what is happening to me is also being narrated by like this Truman Show type third person. I wouldn't say it freaked me out. I think it was good to have that consciousness to be like, oh, this is what is happening. This is what this is doing to me is making me step out of what I'm feeling and trying to curate the reality rather than just live it. And that happens all the time. This is not just reserved for social media, but social media for sure amplifies this. Interesting bit is the whole thing started as in that being the space of empowerment, right? That ability to curate and that ability to control what you put out and what you are. Mm-hmm. And then how quickly that sort of turns around and becomes, oh, is everything I'm doing sort of being thinking in the third person and all of that. But I also remember having another conversation with Deepa where she randomly the other day was like, oh, somebody came up to me and said, Aru posted this, right? What do you know about that? Being a close friend of mine, she posted this on social media. And she's like, I had also not seen it. So then I went and saw it. And I was like, yeah, that's interesting, because there are bits of my life that I put out here. There are bits of my life that I put out to Deepa. There are bits of my life that I put out somewhere else. I mean, I'm actively all the time choosing what I'm saying to whom in what way.
Yeah.
This shift, once I was able to make the shift of, oh, IRL social media is not this great distinctive thing. It's just a continuum. It's just another way of communicating with the world. I no longer started spending so much time on sitting on that story, being like, okay, does this need to go up? Does it need to go in the same way, etc., etc.? Because then at that point, I was like, if people want to receive it a certain way, they will receive it a certain way. Just like in my life, okay, I do have a few uncomfortable things to say all the time, whether they're uncomfortable because they're silly, uncomfortable because they don't belong, uncomfortable because they are mistimed, all of those things. But I own those parts of myself here. Why is it so difficult to not be the perfect person on social media? But I also think about generally intimacies and how they develop. And I remember early days, and we were all obsessed. Like our entire class was on Orkut. I remember we used to come to the classroom every day and discuss what we wrote on each other's, what were they called, timelines, what were they, something we were, they were called.
Graphs. scraps.
Scrapbooks. We what we wrote on each other's scrapbooks, whatever. One of my theories about myself was that earlier social medias were all super male gazy, and now Instagram is no longer male gazy, which is the most ridiculous. Ridiculous theory that I could have come up with, right? Because it's just exactly what Sneha said. It is a reflection of who we are at the present moment. Yes, back then, my entire life was male gaze. Yeah, I was like going through life wanting to be seen in a specific way by a specific set of men. And so it was fully believable to me that a relationship that developed on Orkut could go offline. But it was not that believable when it was female friendships.
Right, you know, right.
And I see what Deepu says about so many times. I think I use lingo that I pick up from Instagram.
Yes.
Instagram. Deepa is just like, I don't know what that means.
My friends, though, Bhavna, Aru, Prerna, they have now set into this. Ki isko kuch bolenge, fir usko explain karenge ki isko aise kyu bol rahe. I'm like, achha, theek hai. Because half of the time I don't know. I don't know the language.
But to be honest, like even when you're on the internet, there's so much happening.
Yeah,
and there's so much going on. And there's like different generations of people. Like what they say, what their memes are, what their jokes are. I have no idea what's happening. And like thoda bahut, like you pick up when you are following young people, as I do my nieces, who half their stories are completely at sea to me. So I think it's of course digital divide, but it's also within the digital is generational, it's area specific, it's like pop culture specific. I'm not very good with Western pop culture, and there's so much going on. I always feel at sea, but then if I speak Bollywood to people, they will run away because they won't understand what I'm saying. Like,
Bollywood fan?
Really? Didn't know this at all.
I'll be like dropping some very specific Dulhe Raja dialogue, and people are like, what is happening? Yeah,
I think my anxiety with social media comes up when I start dating someone most, and then they start following. And I'm like obsessively checking whether they have checked my stories. If they have checked my stories, why have they not texted me immediately? Or how haven't they asked me? Or why haven't they said? Why haven't they fallen in love with me yet? What the hell? So again, as much as I would say that, yeah, this is my space and no male gaze allowed, I think there are big parts of me which are just for myself and like girlfriends and whatever else. But there is definitely a part of me which is still pandering very much to the male gaze. Okay,
yeah. The specific male gaze. But
specific one male gaze. One male's gaze.
One male's gaze. I don't know. I think I pander to more than one male's gaze at a time at any given point.
No, but legit, that now I'm pandering to you guys all the time. I'm like, I wonder if Shravanti finds this funny. Fully same energy, where I'm just like, oh, why hasn't she said anything yet?
I was so jealous. You will not believe it. When my cousin was in Singapore and we were going around, the shameless Shravanti, now all this gyan she's giving about some like validation and all. Any picture of my cousin I put up, she's liking. My photo, she's not liking. And then I got so annoyed and I yelled at her. I was like, what is wrong with you? Like, so yeah. Friendship community, sir, bol rahi hai bade bade words yahan pe.
You know, last year when we had, two years ago, when one of my friends was on the podcast and she was talking about how she felt really offended by how specific people didn't respond to her episode because it was very vulnerable, etc., etc. And she's just like, the barrier to entry is so fucking low. You just have to send me a like. You have to press a button. Okay, and what, I mean, in that moment, what keeps you from giving me that validation, right? What, it's the barriers to entry keep growing when you take it offline. Do the bare basic minimum and I'll be happy. And I was just like, that is so true. I hadn't thought of why it's more irritating that people don't give validation online sometimes. And I'm just like, very easy, yeah.
I'll say one thing. I mean, I do think, again, because people have different relationships to it. Like, I don't know why someone doesn't. But I do know what one person told me once, which is an ex-boyfriend, who told me that if he likes everything I put up, then there will be no value to that like. Which is like such a language of scarcity, right? And I remember thinking that it's such a different way of thinking about validation than I do. I'm a little bit like abundance, right? I'm like, yeah, like if you're my friend and I love you, I'm dating you and I love you, I'm going to do everything I can to tell you every single day that you are amazing in every which way, right? So one, I do think that there are just shitty reasons that are anchored in scarcity and like some, as if like love is some commodity that you run out of, like if you give it away too fast. That's just bullshit. But a more, I think, charitable explanation for some people, it's, I think they just, first thing I've seen how people view like Instagram, and it's a lot less, like they just don't even realize that there's a picture, like, or that you think you've liked it, or you haven't, or, like, you know, so I do think there are other explanations, but there's also these.
What you said about like love and like and affection being like commodified, as if, you know, there's utna hi hai, mere body mein itna hi hai, and like, you know, I have to roll it out to you, and like, okay, this is awful imagery, but like, you know, throwing a biscuit at a dog and like earn it, and I'm like, that's rubbish. And this is one place where you can actually like send multiple hearts and send multiple things, and you know, it's easy to communicate in that sense. So
but it's so interesting you use the word commodified, because that's exactly the logic they use to say that this is not good, right? Like that this is like some sort of digital platform, like a like is just, yeah. So like, you know, that was a very correct way of putting it, because it can, you can call it commodified in either way, and I could argue for or against it. And I like a lot of these like bros in my life have said something similar, that oh, it's just like some social media app, like you're falling into some social media trap by like wanting this sort of validation, like why, what's wrong with you type. And I just feel like they're the kinds of people who will not validate you offline either. So like there is just like, I don't think it's a digital problem, I think it's a personal problem. I think also I think it's also helpful to think about different sorts of love languages that people have, right? Like online. And I feel like this liking one is one. Some people, I think, are better at reacting to stories or sending a lot of reels. So, like, I have some friends who, we don't have conversations. We just have reel exchanges. And it's generally Bollywood-specific reels. And we have a very specific relationship on Instagram. But it's mostly just, I wake up and it's a shout-out to Adil Hussain, actually. Every morning, I get 5 reels from him. And it's just, like, it makes my day. Because, like, I wake up and it's also, like, such careful thought has gone into sending me what, you know? And that is a kind of, like, love language. Like, he and I don't talk otherwise, or he and I don't have, like, he may not be, like, liking every story of mine, but there is a certain care and, like, thought that goes into it. Same, like, vice versa. When I see something that reminds me of this person, to even, like, share it is like, an extension of some sort of, like, friendship and intimacy, right? Yeah. And mm-hmm. I think it just gives us, just like we learn different kinds of intimacies in like the real world, and there are so many different versions of it, like I think we need to extend the same courtesy to the digital world, which we often don't. Like, I think about it in terms of binaries, like hai, nahi hai, mm-hmm. like you hate it or love it or whatever.
Exactly.
But actually there's
so
much going on.
I was thinking exactly on those lines, because I am that person who probably doesn't respond to most of the things. But then I'm just thinking, acha, kya main aise karti hu? So we have this friend of ours who just loves sending memes. We have this Insta group and a WhatsApp group, and she loves sending reels and memes all the time. And her big issue with us is that none of us react on her reels. And she's always like, she will literally sit us all down and be like,
this was an IRL conversation where she's like, I'm very upset with this group.
And she took it to a different level. She's like, there's some value system to this group.
Correct only, but I feel.
Because, yeah, but, and that is her love language. It's what we realized. It's what I realized later on. And mine was, okay, really to hai. Matlab, and I might not really like the reel. Matlab, you send me some nonsense bullshit reel also. Like, kyun bhej rahi hai mujhe? Said I am like, so like, for example, Aru or a lot of my friends, after every time we meet, they put up some stories or something. And anyways, and everyone else who shares a story with me, I don't necessarily share it every time, because most of the time, ek to maine bahut der baad dekha hota hai, and I'm like, achha, theek hai, I like it and move. Theek hai? Vaisa. But I also know, like, I have had conversations with my friends who feel offended by that, who feel like, you know, you're not validating this. I've struggled with that idea, I think, because I'm just like, okay, I get it that I should be doing it, but I also don't understand the constant pressure of having to do it. Ki matlab, abhi dali hai, to tumhe share hi karna padega. Tumne nahi kiya, to I will question your love for me. Is something that's at the end of the spectrum. I'm just like,
I feel like, I think people who make you feel like, I think make you feel safe, like my cousin, for instance, again, she's not the same as me, a personality wise or digital personality wise, but many times I've shared stories of her and she's never reshared them. But it doesn't make me question it. So I always feel like, I think the questioning comes when there's something else going on in an equation with someone, which gets amplified digitally, you know, or you look for, like, it basically becomes evidence of the fact that, okay, there is something going on here, right? Like, and I think we know that those, because I don't think it exists with everybody who doesn't share your stories or doesn't reciprocate. Like, I think those red flags actually come up when there's something else going on. Like, with this ex-boyfriend that I'm talking about, there was like a dearth of love in everywhere. So when it got reflected on, it was easier to point out on social media. Be like, because it was easy to isolate and be like, you didn't do this. And I think the fact that, like, now I look back and I'm like, I don't know why I was so bothered about his stupid like, who cares? Like, all my, like, amazing friends like it. And, like, there is actually so much validation that you get. Like, why do we fixate on that one like? And I think that has a lot more to do with that particular equation than with social media.
Yeah, I think, Deepu, when you were saying I should be doing it, I don't know, I don't agree. Like, you don't have to, you shouldn't have to do everything. But I do feel like it's one conversation, right? Like, I meet my other friend, like, she doesn't like sharing stories. And I write, like, these sappy love notes to her on Instagram. Like, these very extra things. She doesn't share it. And I've told her, share it. And she's like, no, I don't want to. And that's it. Like, that's the conversation. And whereas with Sina, I have said, share it. She has shared it. And, like, you know, she...
One time, though, I didn't share something. She's like, you haven't shared it yet. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sharing. Sorry.
On Shravanti's birthday, I was like, oh, I wish I had a nice photo of you to put up on Instagram, Shravanti. Shravanti's like, wait, I'll send a photo.
I'm actually very secure in my friendships. But every once in a while, I feel like these people, like Sneha, is so popular. I feel like everyone should know that I am the friend. Like, you know, I am a very good friend. So for me, those are the things. Like I just want big, large acknowledgement across my all circles about what I'm feeling about them. And that's my need at that point. And I'm saying that need is not met. It doesn't mean like my friendship with them is like affected or like, you know, it's like people love. Any less or anything of that sort. But that's my need. And yeah, I think it's completely relationship with yourself. It's just a conversation. Like, hey, do you want to share my story? No. Okay, bye.
I mean, the really, really shitty part of social media really hit me when I was a part of the core team of Mutual Aid India on the second wave of the pandemic. And my number had gotten passed around. And I was getting dick pics. This is unsolicited dick pics. Like, day in, day out. Just all sorts of, like, gullies in my DMs all the time. This is just, and that's when I realized how curated my circle is, right, on social media. However much you say you're popular or whatever, it's still a very specific set of, like, 10, 15 people that respond to everything. And then the etc. The same thing when you take that template and apply it online, it just amplifies it so much because you're like, I don't know this person. I don't even know this person. Like, if this person was standing next to me, I don't know what they would look like. And that feeling that's of unsafe, like just stepping out of your house, unsafe. That anonymity that social media lends to the person who's perpetrating the crime is unmatched. And I think I got such a small sliver of what most women that are vocal on social media go through.
Yeah, I'm just extending on this. And one of the reasons I feel so exhausted by social media is because, for example, when you're putting it, because it's so curated, the section of people you're talking to is so curated, you also have in your mind who you're talking to in some sense, like a broader sense of who are these people I'm speaking to. Because if there's one person, like if there's one person from my family on social media, I'll not put up a story about somebody I'm dating. So for me, it adds to the exhaustion because I keep feeling, if I put a story, I have to constantly keep thinking back to who are these people going to see this? I need to know exactly who the people who. It's exhausting to keep thinking about it. And I think that's one of the reasons I also feel like bas jitne kam logo se baat karni utna zyada achha hai. Jitne kam logo ke baare mein sochna utna zyada
achha. I actually had a similar but different problem, right? Like, when I had a public account, then I made private. But by that time, a lot of people who were following me anyway were already on my followers list. So, like, recently, it was very, I mean, I guess it was kind of sweet, but someone, I don't know this person at all, but had sketched, you know, scenes of me with me. And I don't know, I'm someone who's very, I don't feel vexed or harassed by men. I guess I give them a lot of credit for being actually, like, sweet. And I do think in this case, it was genuinely just sweet. But what freaked me out was something that you said earlier, Arundhati, which is that this kind of perceived intimacy, right? Like, it's really weird because, like, to this person, he was convinced that he knows me or like is friends enough with me or like feels something so strongly that he would do this, which again, like, I'm like, okay, thank you. I very gracefully accepted it and I still have them. And like, it's fine. But like, there are lots of people either on Twitter or Instagram who think that they are very close to me because they see so much of my life, right? And I've had to constantly, I've always felt either pressured into becoming or like seeming friendlier than I actually feel towards them. And then that's like reaching a limit where I just can't anymore. And then I become slightly curt, right? And it's always a bit awkward. And I feel really bad because, you know, because I'm extroverted, my day is split between a lot of people. And I'm fucking exhausted by the end of the week, you know? And I'm really exhausted, but I can't stop it. Like, I
Shravanti's face. I wish this was a video podcast. Not enough eyes to roll. Anyway,
but yeah, it's like really exhausting. And I feel like, you know, introverts are talked about with a lot of sympathy. But extroverts need some of that too. It's exhausting to be an extrovert. Hashtag not all extroverts. But no, I mean, my point is that when it becomes digital, the problem is really a lot of people think that they're closer to you than they are. Trying to draw those boundaries becomes very difficult because you, on the one hand, champion that everybody here is community, my friends, love you all. And then someone is like, hello, this is happening in my life. I'm like, I don't have time for this. Like, fuck off. It's like, it's so sad.
I think this digital intimacy, it can really get exhausting. But I think what I try to think of is like how all friendships come with certain contexts, right? Yeah. So, I know we are doing this divide because that's the only easiest way to talk about this. But like offline friendships also are often certainly about like certain contexts, right? Like you have work friends or you will have these friends who you only like, I don't know, go shopping with or whatever. And I feel like this internet space is like these friends you are probably going to send reels to. And, you know, and that's the level of friendship that I think it's not needed to ascribe more meaning to it, saying that, oh, we are friends who just send reels to each other, but if anything really is needed, we will be like best of friends. I mean, I like your meme curation. I like your meme curation, and that's about it. And I feel like that's what needs to be kept in mind with like digital intimacy also. Like, okay, there's a certain context, you see my stories, you see this, and we know each other, but these conversations have to grow organically into whatever else is happening.
I mean, I remember Shravanti, you and I also, I knew so much about Shravanti, but we started calling ourselves friends when we finally had conversations and we were like responding to everything we were doing, doing, and there was an actual interest and engagement beyond what I'm curating. Yeah, I think on this podcast, because we talk about so many vulnerable things, Deepu and I, there is a tendency for people who write to the Fursat Feminism Instagram account to feel a great sense of intimacy, right, with the people that are running the podcast. And we are deeply happy every time somebody responds. First of all, because you're like, oh, tumne suna, wow. But also it takes a lot for somebody to like, yeah, pen something, vulnerable, yeah, all of that. And but there is such a difference in the cis men that message us and the women that message us. There's in the cis men, they'll enter our DMs very much being like, but why don't you also talk about this? But why don't you also talk about this? Why didn't you also? There's a high level of entitlement on our emotional labor.
Let's do a partnership and we will help you talk about this.
But it's very like, why isn't this framed better so that I can understand it? You know, I didn't like learn anything about care in this episode that you claimed was about care.
I don't care, you should say.
The women that come into our DMs are very much like, this happened with me. I've been going through this. Also, I disagree with this part of what you're saying because this is not the experience I have had. But I see you and I see that's a different experience for you. It's not echo chambery in the same way that Shravanti is saying. It's very safety chambery, right? It's those intimacies I'm so much more comfortable with because I'm like, yeah, you sat and you listened to a podcast and you engaged with this idea and you shared something of yourself in this. And so it's a very different barrier to entry again, that they've listened to a two-hour podcast and then come into the thing and they've engaged with something. Like they've actually engaged with long-form content, as Deepa says.
No, okay, I'll last thought, maybe. What do you feel about stalking your exes on social media?
I've stopped doing it because I realized it actually makes me sadder than I would like. And I don't care anymore what they do in their lives.
Aspirational. Love it. I should get that. For me, it's like it's picking on a scab. Every once in a while, I feel like, oh, there's a scab. Achha lag raha hai. Like, just like, yeah. But we're working on it. We're working on it. Yeah.
No, but this is a deep cut, harking back to all the way back to the breakup podcast, Shravati. In the sense that the scabs that I really like to pick at are ex-friends.
Yes, that too. Ex-friends is also
big. That still cuts deep.
I like mute everybody. I've gotten very, very good at just not looking back. But I will say I do have one thing with exes is that I like for them to see what I am up to.
Yes.
So they realize that they are messed up. Yeah. So I mute them. And I pray that they never mute me. I have muted them. Happily. I am like, I don't want to know, but you should know how hot I look like every single day.
Especially like after a breakup, like, and that person is still on your social. Oh my God. If you see an increase in thirst traps coming from me, please know I've just had a breakup.
With Arun, I think after the edits, I'm always like, wow, kya bola hai? And then abhi main wapas sunti hu, I'm like, kya bol rahe hai? Kyu bol rahe
hai? Deepa's guts, huh? Deepa goes back to 1.5-year-old podcast and listens to them. I'm like, bhai, guts hai, rehne de yaar, kya hai? That was in a moment in time.
Abhi nahi sunne ka, khud ke baaton ko. I'm like, I want to go back on my Twitter and delete everything that I've tweeted in the past, like, 4 years, but it's too much.
Listen, that is the real problem with social media, is that it has preserved my absolute stupidity through the annals of time.
Things that you could have like very easily forgotten. Like, oh, I did this also at some
point. I would like to forget. And of course, earlier it used to be that irritating thing where, like, you know, your relatives would put up pictures of you on Facebook and they're the worst pictures. Like, how do they take such...
And then Facebook sends you 3 years back, 7 years back.
Yeah, memories. Nahi chahiye memories, nightmares. Mujhe, please, chore do.
I don't like all of that. I don't like looking at my cringy past. And and for me, it's almost... Because I really can see myself separate from it and be like, oh, look at how I've grown. And this is like, I don't think like this.
Full aspirational. I don't want to look at any.
Post my first breakup, I had this whole like phase of like putting up some random poems and stories that I would write on social media. And then now I look at those things, I'm like, oh my God.
That is very true. Yeah, even I, after one or two breakups, I had this whole like poem sharing, poem writing thing. And it just makes me want to die when those come up as memories. Or people are the fucking worst, okay? People, like there's this one cohort mate of mine, and all this was when I was in the US. And she very, I felt like, you know, Tane Bazi style. She was like, so you're writing some poetry. It's interesting. I was like, who says it's interesting? You either say it's nice or like don't say anything.
Yeah. It's interesting.
But I feel with great fondness for that old self. Like, my God, how cringe you were. And how stupid you were. How strongly you were feeling these things. And now I feel nicely distanced. So I love looking at my...
That's very nice. I hope to get to that point someday.
I still can't look at old Facebook statuses and like...
Oh dear God.
Full body cringe. I remember once a classmate of mine actually came up to me and said, do you know you post two statuses per day? Like, he told me, he had counted.
How jobless is he, yaar? Like,
I know. I was like, us time pe I died. But abhi I'm like, are, tere paas to bahut time tha yaar, tu to baith ke bada dega.
And this is a question I have for everybody who comes to me and says that, oh, you are always Instagram. I'm like, why are you on Instagram looking at my Instagram? You must explain yourself. You are so cool, means why are you looking? Acha, but can we also like for like 2 minutes talk about this problem with parents coming onto Instagram? I am enjoying this turn of events. Mother, aunt, everybody in my level, they come up. Obviously, they send friend requests and then I have to ignore them and then I have to explain why I'm not actually adding them. Or then I add them and then I remove them from my stories so that they don't get like totally like freaked out and I put up sanskari posts. Like, what is this life? It's becoming
crazy. My mother is in your Instagram, Sneha. Arundhati, yours also.
So I have a real story to share about this.
I am so excited.
So my mother follows me on Instagram, and beech mein I was trying to tag her in something and couldn't. So I was like, what happened? And so I went to her, opened her phone, because obviously I can't ask her these questions and expect her to have a reply and all of that. So I was like, checked her phone. Turns out she didn't follow me on Instagram.
Okay.
And so this is the grand turning of the generational divide within this group also. I went to her and I'm like, why are you not following me on Instagram? And she goes, I unfollowed you.
You have been unfollowed by your mother?
She unfollowed me, guys. The rest of your mothers are hankering to get into your follow list, and my mother voluntarily unfollowed my Instagram.
This has to go on your CV.
Yeah. And then I asked her why. Deepa, you will enjoy this. My mother's like, oh, I just see how much time you have to update the rest of the world, but you don't have that time to come and call me and tell me what's going on with your life. I don't want to find out about your life through your Instagram. I will just choose what you choose to tell me on the phone. I was like, oh my God. Mother.
Wow. OMG.
I think my mother follows me for exactly this reason. She's like, anyway, you're not going to update me about what's happening in your life. So I'll just like look at this and get a sense of what's happening. And so she really feels...
Your mother is more resolved than mine. She's just like, tum mujhe nahi bataogi personally, to main nahi janna chahti tumhare social media ke through, tum nahi. And this was also the time when I was living across the street from her. But I forgot to mention that small detail. But it's like
I don't want my mother to follow me, because she is, whenever I put up any post, not only does she like it, then she'll put like hearts under it. So when she was privy to my stories, everything she'll reply with hearts or like heart eyes. I'm like, okay, enough. Like, I don't need. She's always like this. Yeah, my mother's a sweetheart. And she's always been like major like hype team. But I'm like, enough now. Hype team is becoming too much. Just go away. Like, I know you like everything I say. It's fine.
I'll send you my mother for a while. Thoda exchange program kar lete hain. When she unfollows you and tells you how vain you're being, then you come back and you'll be like, I want my mother back.
This is the greatest story to end also on. Can I just say, it's like amazing. Hall of Fame, the story is going to.
I want to do one round of, if anybody has any last thoughts, then I can wrap.
I have some last thoughts. Just everybody, just be happy and stop harassing people putting up selfies, and stop harassing people who don't want to share your stories, and just like stop thinking about this stuff in like negative ways, and like your friends' post, send hearts, and validate Grouch Potato and me on a regular basis.
That's I think like not just Instagram, in life also. I'm gonna tattoo it somewhere.
No last thoughts. You don't have.
Nope.
Only short thoughts will come in the middle and shake up the conversation, and then make up.
Next, social media down. Social media hi.
Oh my God.
I promise that Deepu would be the social media Grinch, and she's delivered, is all I want to say.
That's the only reason I was called for this episode, because she's just like,
hello, hey, apart from
the... that you're the host of this podcast.
Much like Shravanti is Instagram, you are Fursat Feminism.
No, I just, my final thoughts are just that, don't take it so seriously. It is what it is. I mean,
maza aa raha hai to karo, nahi aa raha hai to mat karo, big deal.
I think that's also, have fun. If you're having fun, have fun. If you're not having fun, okay. just don't, like,
if it doesn't spark joy,
but if you do feel like, I don't know, sometimes, like, you know, putting that coffee cup putting that book just so, and taking a picture and doing it, it doesn't make you less authentic, it doesn't make you flusy or fake. We all have rich lives and amazing lives, and this is just yeah, an extension and a part of that. That's it. Bus.
The whole point of this podcast is this only. Ki chill maro.
Chill maro. Pyar baato. Aur kya hai?
Great. Thank you both so much. This was amazing. This is, I feel so ready for season two now.
Yes.
Season two will actually happen because it has to need, it needs more than just your episode.
Yes, Agati won't leave you alone. So congrats.
Like, we're just like disgustingly cute and cheesy.
Yeah, yeah. Really stop being so wholesome also. Like, stop. It's okay. Once in a while, take a break. Huh? Thank you. Thank you both so much. This was amazing. And you.
Bye.
See you soon. Bye. Bye. Bye.